You know, some of you probably are wondering what the heck is this sermon title all about, and where is this sermon going? The Devil Wears Prada. Well, I took it from a movie that came out several years ago with Meryl Streep in it, and it's about this critical, over-demanding person who expects only perfection from her employees while having some imperfections of her own in which she is not confronted. Do you know anybody like that? I think we call them, we call them micromanagers today? I call them control freaks. That's what I call them. We have all encountered people, whether at work or school or in any club. There's always one person that seems they want to be in charge. Now, I'm not saying we don't need people in charge, but you know what I'm talking about, that their way is the best, it's their way or the highway. We've known people like that for years, and they're sweet people, aren't they? But, you know, Judas was a person with some ugly imperfections, too. One of the biggest flaws was not paying attention or acknowledging the virtues of others, primarily because, you know what? He was a crook himself. Now, I'm not saying those people I mentioned are crooks, by no means I'm not saying that, but that was one of the reasons that he ignored other things, because he was trying to pull the strings on others. An alternative title to the sermon could be called selective hearing, which many of us may relate. My father was notorious for his selective hearing. You'd tell him something and he would ignore it. Then other times he could hear everything. So, and it wasn't a hearing problem either. But isn't it odd how some people only listen or hear only a part of what is said in most conversations? These people partially process what is heard and then interpret it as something entirely different. There's a story of a hobo who walked up to the front door of this big home and knocked until the owner answered. The hobo said, "Sir, could I please have something to eat? I haven't had a meal in days." The well-to-do owner of the house said to him, "I have made my fortune by never giving anything away for free. So if you go around to the rear of the house, you'll find a fresh gallon of paint and a clean brush. Paint my porch and I'll give you a good meal." The hobo headed around to the back of the house. An hour later, he knocked on the back door, and the owner was surprised. He was very surprised. Said, "You finished already? That was quick. Come on in and sit down, and I'll have the cook bring you your supper." "Thank you," said the hobo, "but I've got to admit about something." He said, "You really don't know your cars. That's not a Porsche back there, but a BMW. Selective hearing. See, that's a delayed response. I got that over at Fort Meade. They caught on after that. The hobo was only partially listening to what was said by the man. He had no inclination to talk about a car at all. But what the hobo heard and what the man said were two different things. You know, and so, yes, sometimes people just don't understand clearly or even listen. Judas suspected but didn't understand why Mary purchased the expensive perfume for the Lord at Bethany. Christ had to explain it to him. Now, I'm of the suspicion that that perfume was probably myrrh, as you remember in the Christmas story where the wise men visit and they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume used at a burial service. It was, of course, they didn't have embalming, and they always spread it in the tomb so it would have a fragrant odor. And I have a strong hunch that myrrh was probably what Mary used that moment. But only a week earlier, the Lord had raised Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, from the grave. You know, there was a lot of gossip circulating in the area about that. There was even an unhatched plot to kill both the Lord and even Lazarus now. But now we read that Mary and Martha were hosting a dinner party, and Christ was the guest of honor. John tells us that after they had dined, the guests were relaxing around the supper table. We can envision Martha in the kitchen, busy cleaning up, and Mary remaining with the dinner guests by Christ's side. We remember from the Gospel of Luke about Martha complaining to Christ that she was left to do all the work in the kitchen, the cooking and the cleaning and everything. And then there was Mary who was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to what he was saying. Well, I think Martha had already worked through all that, so she had no issue with that. But, you know, later Mary did bring in that pint of very expensive perfume and poured it onto Christ's feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. Now, that's an unusual thing to do. Of course, back then women had long hair, but to wipe somebody's feet with your hair, that was a very, very intimate gesture. Mary, the sister of Lazarus, expressed her gratitude to Christ for not just the resurrection of her brother's life, but she offered this very high-priced and lavish gift without any consideration of its cost. But we immediately hear from someone who did count the cost of all this extravagance. It was from the treasurer Judas, who would soon betray the Lord. Judas spoke up immediately, and he said, and tried to take Mary to task for what she had done. You know, the old saying is there's always a critic. Well, Judas was Mary's critic, what she'd done. The old saying, no good deed goes unpunished. Well, it was holding true. Judas was going to make sure that Mary knew of his disapproval of that. What Judas didn't count on was that Jesus was defending Mary at this time. So he even said to the Lord, Judas did, why wasn't that perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Because the perfume was valued about a year's wages. But Christ knew Judas really didn't care about the poor. Now, I want to say something. Christ said, the poor will always be with us. I've heard some people justify that means we don't have to help the poor out. That's not what the Lord was speaking about. Judas had an ulterior motive, and we know the reason why. All because Christ said the poor will always be with us doesn't mean that we can just gloss over that and say, oh, well, I don't have to spend my money on that deadbeat. That's not what the Lord, as I said, spoke about. We are to help the needy out when there's a need out there. That is an important thing of our Christian faith to do. John identified Judas as the thief who stole the money from the treasury several times. My question is, why didn't they apprehend him? I don't know why. I guess that maybe Judas was playing it out and they were going to catch him with a real big mousetrap there. But John identified him, and he was only concerned about lining his own pockets. And Christ interrupted Judas and guess what? Told him to leave Mary alone. He said the perfume was intended for the day of his burial, but Mary had chosen to use it to anoint him while he was still alive. The Lord told Judas that they would always have the poor, as I said, but Judas was not to reprimand Mary for what she had done. Christ understood what was in stock for him in Jerusalem in a few days. Perhaps Mary had intuitively known too. In the final weeks of Lent, we focus on our travels with Christ in a more intense and focused manner. We could ask, how do we journey with the Lord to Calvary and become more faithful disciples of Christ like Mary? It is by prayer that we do follow Christ to the cross and not retreat from commitment, as did Simon Peter and the other disciples. Remember this, it was only the Apostle John that remained at the foot of the cross at the crucifixion. The other 10 fled. Of course, Judas was dead by that time. But it was the women who stood by the Lord. It was not the men. It was Mary who demonstrated a courageous model of a faithful servant, while the rest of them flip-flopped around on it. The entire reason for Mary's being a devoted disciple was due to a profound sense of thanksgiving also, not just for her brother's resurrection, but for her own salvation. She was overwhelmingly thankful for what Christ had done. Mary was so pleased that she spent all she had on that expensive perfume as a token of her gratitude. And another thing, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus evidently were from an upper class family, upper middle class family, because they owned their own home. And in those days, a sign of wealth was you owned your own dwelling, you didn't rent. And it looks to me like that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, really, they were quite affluent there in Bethany. We know that the Lord used their place as a retreat center because he could get away, and he knew that they would be there to minister to him. And he wasn't there because he needed to be renewed. His body would be worn out. So that was a place that the Lord, three people the Lord could count on. But you know, let us look to Mary as the role model of thanksgiving and faithfulness, to be bold enough to walk alongside Christ, who offers us everlasting life. We should continue as we journey toward Easter, that we should remember to be continually in a state of thankfulness for what Christ would do for us on Good Friday. May our profound sense of thanksgiving and loyalty continue to be at the core of our relationship to Christ, with complete understanding that the best is yet to be, which doesn't require selective hearing. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes in our lives we tend to overlook things. Sometimes we avoid and evade things that you told us in the Bible to do. We make up excuses for them. Help us, O Lord, to be completely committed and faithful to you. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.